You know, Israel desired a king for all the wrong reasons. Even so, God would have anointed a king on his own terms if the people hadn't forced the issue. Before the nation's establishment, God had a king in mind for Israel. As far back as Genesis 49, Jacob prophesied that a scepter or a ruler would rise from Judah. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, there God anticipated a king by providing rules for his conduct. I believe that God already had a man picked out to be king of Israel. It was David. And to David, God made incredible promises, ultimately fulfilled by David's heir, King Jesus. But here's an important lesson. So often our desires and God's desires, they're really not that far off. We want a good job. We're seeking meaningful relationships in our lives. We're working to accumulate necessary resources. God wants the very same things for us. The conflict comes in why we want these blessings and how we go about getting them and whether we're willing to wait on God to bring them about. Our desires can go unchecked. They can spin out of control or they can be governed by faith. By forcing the issue, Israel's desire for a king led to an undesirable king. Be careful when you force God's hand. That's the point. Uncontrolled desires lead to undesirable ends. Well, it didn't take long for Saul to prove that he was an unfit king. His failure to obey God after his victory over the Amalekites caused God to reject Saul's kingdom. I believe it was God's intention all along to appoint a king, but a godly king, a spiritual king, a king with character, a king with faith, all that Saul was not. Well, chapter 16 begins, and before we begin chapter 16, Larry, please run down to the middle schoolers and tell them I can't concentrate because they're too loud. Thank you. Chapter 16. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons." God has rejected Saul, and he is about to choose a replacement. And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." Now, chapter 15, verse 34 tells us that Samuel was in Ramah at the time, and Saul was in Gibeah. And in order to travel from Ramah to Bethlehem, where Jesse was, you had to pass through Gibeah. In other words, you had to walk right through Saul's backyard. And Samuel knew if the king learned the purpose of his mission, oh my, he would try to kill him, snuff him out. Saul had become an impulsive, paranoid, egotistical tyrant. You remember back in chapter 14, Saul had already proven how far he'd go to protect his position. Rather than admit his rash vow, you remember what he did? He tried to kill his own son, Jonathan. Saul had turned into a madman. Well, God provides Samuel a cover, he says. "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you." In other words, when Saul hears the word sacrifice to the Lord, don't worry, he'll lose interest. He won't follow you. Jesse will, but Saul won't. Saul is all about Saul. Jesse, on the other hand, would be a man happy to rejoice in an act of worship. So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." Then he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice.